Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Lindsays of the world, the people out there that are making disciples and taking the opportunities as they live their lives to touch people with your love. And I just thank you for the privilege you give to us to this, do the same. And help us, I pray, in, as we finish the series and going forward to realize the importance of living out this faith each and every day and assimilating it into all areas of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we are coming to the end of the series called Leading Like Jesus, as we're going to be going through our last two points. And before I get started, I thank God for electricity and air conditioning, because at the end of the first service and through most of the second service, we had no electricity. And did the sermon last service having to project with no amplification, and thank God I still have some voice left. And the second confession I have to make is I never have done worship in a t-shirt before, but got a good excuse, and I hope and pray for those of you who have been through the series and got a chance to hear this, the sermons, that you pick up your t-shirt after the service. Now, in this series, we've talked about, so far, eight very important characteristics how Jesus led, and we're going to be doing the last two. And we start out with blessing, that, you know, that God wants us, you know, to be living in joy, to realize we're living in abundance all the time, and not just some of the time, but all the time. And, you know, joy is a choice we can make, and that's a choice he wants us to make. And we talked about purpose, that Jesus had a clear mission, vision, and purpose. His purpose was to love God, love people. His vision was to fill the world with disciples. And his mission, how the vision becomes reality, is to baptize people and teach them and have them go out in his name. And we see how effective that model's been for, you know, for 2,000 years. And then the third one was accountability, that, you know, Jesus was accountable to his Father, and he held his disciples accountable. And really, to be honest with you, he holds us accountable today. In our lives, we need people to hold us accountable, to make sure we're on the right path, and also people that we hold accountable. Then selection, that when it comes to life, and we have to be selective as far as the people that we spend our time with, selective as far as the things we try to do. There's only so much time to do things in, but Jesus was selective. He chose 12 individuals to be his inner core. Even within that 12, he had three he spent even more time with. He was selective as far as what he spent his time doing. Inspiration, the fifth one, and inspiration is applying God's word, living it out. You know, Jesus was a master teacher, and what he did was he inspired people. And even through his word, we're inspired today, and the calling we have is to inspire others with his love and with his word, and living it out and showing it others what it means by how we live our lives. And then there's commitment, being committed to the right things in life. There's a lot of choices out there, but Jesus focused his commitment on his vision, mission, purpose. And for us, you know, commitment is important insofar as putting Jesus in the center, and relationships, and making sure we're committed to the right things. Then we talked about time management. And with time management, we saw with Jesus, you know, he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and people, that he spent time focusing on relationship with his Father, with himself. We see growing to be the best he could possibly be, and then with others. That as we live our lives and manage time, make sure we're spending the majority of it in relationship and not doing things that aren't significant. We only have so much time in this life to spend it wisely. And Jesus is the best user of time that ever walked on this planet. And then systems. That Jesus had systems that were highly effective, but they were simple. As human beings, we have this tendency to make things complicated. It's important to have systems that make sure they're simple systems that are easy to follow. Well, today we're going to be focusing on leadership and delegation. And to start with, I want to make something perfectly clear. Every one of us is a leader. Okay? You may think, I'm not a leader. You are. Are there people in your life? Children, grandchildren, spouse, significant other, family members, friends? If there's people in your life, you are a leader. You impact the lives of those who impact or are part of your life. You cannot help but impact their lives. We're leaders. And there's a lot of books out there on leadership. The best book in history is the Bible, but there's thousands of other books, and I've done a lot of, you know, studying, and, you know, mainly in the Bible, and I see four leadership characteristics that I kind of focus on, four different principles. And, you know, feel free to take and leave it as you want, but a lot of L's in these particular phrases. Number one, a leader is a learner. A leader is a learner. And Jesus was a learner. We see he grew in wisdom from the age of 12 to 30. He grew in stature, in love for God, and love for people. A leader is a learner. We always have more to keep learning. Secondly, a leader is led. Jesus was led by his Father. Okay, he's led by his Father. And he led a group of 12 individuals. And I pray he's leading us today as we follow his word. A leader is led. The third one is a leader leads others to become leaders. All right? A leader leads others to become leaders. Jesus was raising up those 12, training them to be disciples. A disciple is a leader who leads people to Jesus. And a leader lets leaders lead. We're going to talk about that with delegation, that the God of the universe trusts other people to do his work. And I find that amazingly, it's a humbling thing. We'll talk about that in the second part of the message. But first of all, how did Jesus lead? How did he lead? Again, there's all kinds of leadership styles, but I think every one of us needs to take a good look at how Jesus led and assimilate that into our lives. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." How did Jesus lead? By becoming the ultimate servant. And he says here, let your mind be the same. Let your attitude be the same as his own. And through his leadership, he died to give us eternal life. Through his leadership, we're saved. But also through his leadership, we see the example on how we are to lead like servants. You know, I'm convinced that in the early church, they used this section of scripture to help craft the Apostles' Creed, in particular, the second article. There's two parts of it. There's 12 different characteristics of Jesus' life in the Apostles' Creed. And there's the humiliation and the exaltation. It's like a clock, okay? That he was conceived, born, suffered, crucified, died, and buried. That's his humiliation, okay? Exaltation. He descended into hell. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again, and he will judge the living and the dead. That's his exaltation. You see, in Jesus' way of doing things, it's countercultural. You don't ascend into greatness. You descend into greatness. It's the opposite of the world's way of doing things. It says in Matthew chapter 20, "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The God of the universe, in human form, all power, all might, but the most humble servant to ever walk on this planet. The Jesus leadership, and what he's trying to show us, is to lead like servants. Now, across companies and churches, families, societies, there's four main styles of leadership I want to talk about, and one, in particular, the way that Jesus led. The first style is called high control, high accountability. Okay? That'd be like Nazi Germany during World War II. A dictator who basically he was, you know, in complete power and control, and he tried to control everybody else, held them a high level of accountability according to his standards. They did not succeed with what he wanted. There was severe punishment. It's a culture of fear. It's probably very much like that in North Korea to this day. Another one, high control, low accountability. And I think this is common, unfortunately, in a lot of churches out there. The typical church in our country has about 110 to 120 people. Okay, I realize some are smaller because of they're in rural areas, not a lot of people. But a lot of pastors feel that, okay, I need to control the situation here. And so they're in control and everybody else kind of follows along, but there's no really accountability. And so guess how many people one pastor can usually effectively care for? About 110 or 120. That's why those churches only grow to that size. There's limitations with this. There's low control, low accountability, and what you have there is complete chaos. Okay, because no one's in control. It just goes all over the place. The way that Jesus led was low control, high accountability. Low control, high accountability. I find that amazing to me because he has all power and might. He said, go make disciples to his disciples. He didn't specify exactly how to do that. He didn't micromanage them. He said, go do it. And they did. But he held them accountable. So there's low control, but there's still high accountability. And this gives people freedom to be who they are in Christ and to be creative and then, but to be held accountable to be the best self they can be. So that's the way that Jesus led. Two words that kind of make this make more sense is trust and verify. Trust and verify. And I think for those who are parents, this is part of the process of raising your kids. At some point, you have to trust your children to do the right thing. But verify to make sure they're doing it. Okay, you got to give them some freedom. It's becoming more a challenge in our society. We talked about in the generation series, the millennial parents, some of them were called helicopter parents. Okay, some for Generation Z are called lawnmower parents. They're like mowing the path for their kids. You know, at some point you have to let the children experience things in life and to learn and grow. Trust and verify. That's how Jesus led. And so I find it very amazing how Jesus led. Servant leadership, all power, all might. Through his servanthood we're saved, but through his servanthood we see how we're called upon to lead. Now I want to go in the second part, which is called delegation. Letting others lead. Okay? In Acts 1:8, this took place right before Jesus ascended into heaven. He's with his 11. Okay, Judas had committed suicide. There's only 11 disciples left. He says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. These 11 guys are listening to Jesus saying, you know what, guys? You're going to change the entire world. They're probably thinking, yeah, right. How are you going to do that? Look at the book of Acts. Read it. It lays out exactly how the Holy Spirit empowered these 11 individuals plus Paul to change the entire world. And what a great story it is. See, just 10 days after this statement that Jesus made, Pentecost happened, and 3,000 came to faith in one day. And the early church continued to follow Jesus' model. And in a very short period of time, it's believed the church grew to 20,000 people. They met on Sundays because on Saturday, guess what? The temple was being used. But what was happening, the temple started emptying out, and people started going when? From Saturday to Sunday, and it caused a little bit of a jealousy, but the church kept growing, and the infrastructure got huge, and there's problems within, and it came to the apostles saying, hey, help us deal with these challenges. The interesting thing, the apostles said, you know what? We're not going to do that. We're going to appoint 7 individuals, call them deacons, and they're going to take care of the business aspect of the church because we're going to follow Jesus' model, and our focus is going to be on teaching you and praying for you. They would not abandon Jesus' model. And then one of those individuals was a guy named Stephen, and there's a section there that as he began to share a long message with some people who were persecuting him, at the end of his talk, guess what happened to him? He got stoned to death. He got killed. Persecution hit the church. They had spread out. They left Jerusalem. Some stayed behind, the bravest ones, and the rest fled for their lives. They went to Judea and Samaria. And then there was a place where some of them met, a little town called Antioch. They started a small little church there. And I want to read to you from Acts 13 what this church did. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so here they are, they're a group of Gentiles and Jewish believers, very different individuals. They came together, they're praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says to them, take 2 of your very best pastors and send them out to the world. And guess what they did? That's exactly what they did. A lot of churches would say, wait a second, we want to keep them for ourselves. But this church said, nope, let's send them out to the world. And they began their missionary journeys, which went around most of the then known world. And pretty much every time they finished a journey, they ended up back where? At Antioch. Could you imagine sitting in the church service and Paul and Barnabas get up and say, hey, I want to share with you what we've done. We started churches over most of the world. That'd be exciting, wouldn't it? This one church changed the world. Why? Delegation. Jesus showed the model. He poured himself into those 11. Those 11 poured themselves into others. And it spread and grown to over 2 billion believers in the world today. And the way it spreads is by making disciples. Okay, making disciples. And people that in turn train others and delegate it through them. It's a legacy that goes on through other people. Starting with ourselves and out. Now, a question for you. Why did Jesus choose to delegate his ministry rather than do it all himself? You see, Jesus is God, right? He can do whatever he wants. He could have said, you know what? You're all going to believe. Boom! Everybody believes. Could he have done that? Sure. He chose not to. He chose to do his work through who? Us. That's amazing. Why? I don't know. I'm not God. But I love the way he set it up. It's totally interactive. We're all part of this process. Jesus sets us free from sin, Satan, death, and hell, and now in the freedom, we have the choice to choose what we're going to do. But if we want to make our lives truly count, do it his way. Follow his model, because it works. You know, these 10 characteristics are from Jesus. And if we apply them, they truly do work. In 1980, there was what's called the Miracle on Ice. And I still remember being in college, and I listened to it on the radio, when the United States, a bunch of college players, went against the mighty Russian hockey team that had won 4 Olympics in a row. And they were beating our professional teams. And back then, the way it was set up for Olympics, you know, Herb Brooks, the coach, had to find college players. And he chose, you know, a lot of people wonder why he chose the ones he did, because he didn't choose sometimes the best players. He chose the ones he felt would be the best team players. And he trained them, and he pushed them. And then on that day in 1980, they beat the mighty Russian team 4-3, one of the greatest upsets in sports history. The Miracle on Ice. That's for a worldly event. We're part of an eternal championship team. And the victory's been won, but the world, most of the world doesn't know it. And the time we have in this life is significant. And what matters most is what we do in the name of Jesus Christ. And I've been here at St. Martin now for about 8 months, and one of the things I've really poured myself a lot into is putting together a through-the-year in a Bible study program for people that can, you know, I want to have something online for you to go through the Bible, a resource that's going to be up for years to come, to help guide you through the Bible, because Jesus said, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I take that very seriously. And I think that going forward, you know, we have 3 key words we put together in the last, you know, few months, that it's connect, build, and live. And the build is being built up in the Word of God. I encourage us to keep growing in the Word and helping others to grow in the Word. But the live is what happens out there. Why did I play a video earlier for you? Lindsay shows an example of what live looks like. The success for us to be a congregation that's going to grow is to go even beyond ourselves. This is an amazing congregation. Great staff, great people, great dedication. But I bet for most of us, most of our friends are from where? Here, okay? How can we connect more with people out there that don't know Jesus? How can we be like Lindsay and use the opportunities at work or wherever we go to share Christ's love? And I think that's the key going forward more and more, is to live this faith out in every aspect of our life. As we come to the end of the series, this is what I know. Jesus' model works. I know that, okay? And I think that the more that we lead like Jesus, the more we follow his example, the more our lives are blessed, the more the people around us are blessed, the more our church is going to be blessed, and the more our world is going to be blessed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, not just for saving us, but we thank you for showing us what it means to lead, what it means to delegate, how you entrusted your ministry to a group of individuals that changed the world. And now you call us to be disciples too. Lord, help us to take this challenge even more seriously and to realize that you want to empower us, making a greater difference in the lives of those around us. But it's got to start inside of us. And I pray for the ministry of our church and our preschool to help us to expand and grow. And Lord, I even pray for our preschool, even as I just thank you for that incredible ministry, and as enrollments open, for us to even look for more families in our communities that have children that age to get them into our Christian preschool. And Lord, help us be open to the calling that you've given to us, to learn from examples like Lindsay and others, and mostly, Lord Jesus, to lead like you, and to take what we've learned over the last 8 weeks and apply it more and more, to realize this is just the beginning, it's not an ending point. And Father God, we just thank you for your amazing love for us, and in Jesus' name, and you, Lord Jesus, that have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.